Hello and welcome to Cyber Soundbite, the podcast that explores how best to protect yourself, your family and friends online. We'll also keep you updated on the latest cyber threats while taking a deeper dive into subjects such as social media use, the dark web and online gaming. I'm Ben Cook, and this time I'm talking to Lisa Ventura, who has 25 years experience in the cybersecurity industry. Lisa is the founder of Cybersecurity Unity, which focuses on key areas such as diversity across the sector, mental health and cybersecurity, collaboration and unity. I asked Lisa to begin by telling me a bit more about Cybersecurity Unity and why she thought it was important to start this business.
Hi everyone, absolutely. So as Ben said, I've done a lot of work with different organisations and my focus has been very much on the whole human element of cybersecurity and doing a lot of cybersecurity awareness training and comms to, you know, really get people thinking about their cyber posture and what things they can do to try and help them stay safe in their jobs and stay safe online, etc. And I actually founded a small trade association in cybersecurity a few years ago. And then I got to the point where I was kind of just looking around and sort of thinking, there's a lot of really, really great work being done, but there are so many different entities. And there also is, there could also be a lot of problems for duplication as well. So for example, just looking around, you've got GCHQ, you've got the NCSC that's very much on the technical side of cybersecurity. You've got the UK Cybersecurity Council, who I did some work with last year, who are very much focused on standards and ethics within cyber and also promoting career pathways into the industry. And then you've got your cyber clusters, you've got UKC3, you've got the cyber resilience centres that are all police led and have been set up to promote the importance of cyber amongst small businesses and SMEs. And then you've got a lot of the certification bodies and people like CSEC, IC Squared, CompTIA, SANS, etc. And what I wanted to do with Cybersecurity Unity was invite representatives from all these different grey areas that they're working in cyber and all these different entities and really, you know, concentrate on working together and sort of talk about, you know, what are the key threats? What's going on? What are the things that we should be really focused on? And trying to also avoid any sort of competition or anything like that and really promote that coming together for the greater good, which is keeping us all safe from cyber attacks. So that was the ethos behind Cybersecurity Unity. And then within that, there's a lot of different projects and areas that I undertake a lot of work in as well, a lot of which you mentioned. So I work very strongly within diversity and inclusion. I do a lot to promote good mental health and avoiding stress and burnout in cybersecurity, which is a huge problem, particularly among CISOs. And I'm also doing a couple of other campaigns as well, one of which is to really support those micro businesses and small businesses, because even today I still hear things like, oh, but we're too small, we don't need to worry about cybersecurity, it isn't something that's ever going to affect us, until they're hit with a breach and then it's too late. So all of this really compounds everything that I do within the industry. And I also do a lot in terms of promoting cybersecurity as a career path, the cyber skills gap, and also supporting women into careers in cyber. So as you can probably tell, cybersecurity is my absolute passion, and particularly from the human side of cybersecurity.
Right. I mean, it really is so broad, and you know, it's progressing so fast. So I guess the importance of unity, you know, it's super important now more than ever, really. So, you know, you've mentioned a couple of things there, and I'm keen to use this conversation to explore a number of these topics in more depth. Let's start with diversity. I understand that this is a very important topic for you, specifically neurodiversity and women in cybersecurity careers. Could you go into a little bit more detail about how you got involved with this in the first place?
Absolutely. So in 2018, I was actually diagnosed, and it was actually by chance, with autism. And even prior to that, I always had this feeling that, you know, that I didn't fit in, that I struggled with social situations, that I would miss social cues. Being in an office environment as well was, I could not cope with that from the sensory, you know, overload of the noise and people and everything else that was going on. But I never understood why. And it was a chance diagnosis, because I'd actually gone to my GP for something incredibly minor. But on the way out, I was asked if I wouldn't mind taking part in a study that was being done in my local area, focusing on undiagnosed autism in women between the ages of 40 and 45. Didn't have a problem at all with it, took the survey, filled it in, handed it in. And to cut a long story short, I'd scored very highly on this questionnaire I'd filled in. So I was back in with the three people that were leading the study, spent about 3 or 4 hours with them, lots more questions, lots more puzzles, lots of tests, etc. And they concluded at the end that there was absolutely no doubt that I was indeed autistic. But interestingly, even getting that diagnosis, I didn't feel that that was the only piece of the puzzle with me. I felt that it explained a lot, but I still felt there were some things that perhaps it didn't explain. And for example, my brain all the time is going at a million miles an hour. I'm always thinking of the next thing I have to do and the next thing and the next thing, for example. And I also sort of struggle, not so much in a work perspective, but certainly at home with I might be in the middle of one task and then I'll completely abandon it and move on to the next task, which really does frustrate my husband quite a bit. But I also, I just felt that there was more than just being autistic. So having done a little bit more research, I realised I had a lot of ADHD traits, and I sought a diagnosis for that and remained on the NHS waiting list for nearly 2 years. Finally got a date for an assessment, which was actually this January just gone, and was also diagnosed with not only autism, which they said was absolutely correct, but also with ADHD. And that really did fill all the different pieces of the puzzle with me. And interestingly, I was told that both autism and ADHD can often go hand in hand, which is something I wasn't aware of. So, So that's what got sort of me involved in. And as I was diagnosed with autism, even before my ADHD diagnosis, I did a lot of research and got involved with a lot of other people within cyber that were also neurodiverse. And I could really see how people that are neurodiverse could be well suited to careers in cyber, because a lot of us will have that, you know, hyperfocus. We'll be very good with spotting patterns. We can probably find things within data and so on really, really easily. So that's another area that I do a lot of work in. And I also do a lot of blogs and videos and so on, talking about those traits that I have. And one of the key things as well for me is, you know, I like to say to people, you know, I'm different, but I'm not difficult. And I can't tell you how many times throughout my life I've been told that, you know, I am difficult, or why can't I do this in a certain way, or why can't I fit in there, or I'm too much. And again, the phrase too much, I've been told I'm too emotional. I overshare. I'm too much of everything. It's like, no, I'm not too much. It's just, it's part and parcel of what makes me. But for years, I masked that in order to try and fit into what is a neurotypical world.
As well as advocating more roles for neurodiverse people, you're also working pretty hard at ensuring that women make up a larger percentage of the industry as well. What sort of things are you doing currently to make that happen?
So I think as an industry, we're making some great strides to get more women into careers in cyber. And the opportunities are certainly there. But really interestingly, there was a recent study by Cybersecurity Ventures that found that the global cybersecurity workforce comprises of only 25% women. And I think that the industry as well has a bit of what I call an image problem. Because I know that I've talked, even just today, I talked to a lady that's looking to transition into cybersecurity. She's neurodiverse herself. She's had a career break because her two children have neurodiverse conditions. And she's looking now to go into perhaps something like cyber forensics or so on. But she's put off by the images of what she perceives to be that it's a very much all male environment, but also that it's very much the hoodies huddled over the computer and so on. So and also you'd see a lot of the stereotypes as well in various series and films. So I think there's a lot that can be done to try and get rid of a lot of those stereotypes. And that's what I actively try to do, is to really promote the cybersecurity industry as a really welcoming one. It is quite male dominated. Even today, just as an example, I actually run a fortnightly meetup of InfoSec and cybersecurity professionals. It's just called InfoSec Lunch Hour, and it's really relaxed. You turn up and we'll pick up what's going on. Has there been a breach? Has there been something in particular within the cyber industry? And we'll have a chat about it. It's also designed to be a little bit of a mental health check-in as well. And it was only myself and her with another 15 or so, other males and so on. So it's definitely still very much a male-dominated environment. And she said to me she was surprised that me and her were the only two women there. Now I do get some other women coming to them, and of course it's a bank holiday week, so it could be that people are away. But there's certainly still that disparity, and that's something that I'm really looking at doing is trying to encourage women to join and say it is a very welcoming environment. People are always there to help. There's some really good mentors and people out there to connect to. So I'll carry on doing that to try and promote cyber as a really good industry to join.
I mean, you're a very busy lady, Lisa, and I think we can stop and talk about each of these things in a lot more depth. But like I said, there's lots of issues that you're addressing, and I think this is a great time to talk a bit about each of those. So another big issue you're currently working hard to address is, of course, mental health and cybersecurity. And I read something interesting that you might be able to help shed a bit of light on, but according to Teens, 51% of cybersecurity workers have been prescribed meds to combat poor mental health. I mean, I'm interested to get your take on why it is that you believe this is the case and what's at the root of this issue.
Absolutely. So I think it's almost such a kind of twofold. I see that because the budgets aren't there in a lot of organisations for cyber, or there's been a lot of people let go and those positions sort of aren't filled again. Especially CISOs have got the entire sort of security of their organisation in their hands, and often they're doing it with very little resources. I also actually did a talk last week talking about mental health within security operations centres. And because you have to be you think you have to be always on, it's 24-hour monitoring, and you always have to be there if something happens or there is a breach or something like that. It can be all too easy to be online and get all the work done and make sure you're there should anything happen and so on. And I've seen that lead to quite significant burnout, people being off sick, etc. And I think that's part of the problem. It's a lack of budgets, and also people feeling that they have to fill that gap and be sort of on 24/7 answering emails, answering messages, getting work done, etc. If it's midnight or 2 a.m. And that's I think a big part of the problem and why people are suffering a lot with their mental health and burnout within cyber. And as you rightly said, they're looking to take medication to try and sort of help in terms of overcoming a lot of the challenges that they have. I myself am a mental health first aider, and I actually decided to do that qualification, not because of anybody in particular that I was working with, but because I could see a lot of what I've just been talking about within the cybersecurity community. I would talk to CISOs and people that worked in security operations centers, and they'd tell me about the excessive workloads, and they haven't got any budget to take things forward, and they're not getting enough people to help them, and so on. And so that's why I did my mental health first aid training. And one of the things I promote a lot is to say, I can't do a lot else, but I can lend an ear. I can be that sort of listening point, and I can signpost to other organisations that might be able to help further. And I've had quite a few people, just take me up on that. And even if we've just spent half an hour where they've just been able to, offload and just talk and so on in that time, that's actually made a huge difference to them. And that's one of the key reasons why I decided to become a mental health first aider.
With the time that we've got left, I'm very keen to speak to you briefly about collaboration and unity, which is obviously, at the sort of foundation of the business that you've set up. Could you perhaps tell me a little bit more about the importance of collaboration and how this, initially formed the ethos of cybersecurity unity?
Absolutely. So when I was doing the work with the trade association, I saw the great benefits that collaboration within the industry brought. So for example, if there was somebody that was struggling, or somebody, or the company that had a breach or something like that, where the organization would, the community rather, would rally together and be able to help that organization. And that's kind of where it came from, where I really could see the benefits of collaboration. But I saw all the different entities that I talked about earlier very much operating within their sort of individual silos. And then, for example, somebody would say, I didn't know that CSEC did this, or I didn't know that the UK Cybersecurity Council focused on standards and ethics, and I didn't know that, SANS did a lot around neurodiversity and so on. So that was the ethos of bringing everybody to together and being able to talk about the threats and what's going on and how could, as an industry, we get together. And I know that the industry has typically been very guarded in the past, a little bit of competition and things like that. But I view it as, we're all in it for the same thing. We all want to stay safe from the growing cyber threat. We all want to stay safe from cyber attacks. And if we can all get together to talk about the best practices and ways that we can do that, all the better. So I'm planning a whole series of different events. I'm planning, as I say, a campaign to go out to small businesses and SMEs to promote the importance of cybersecurity and so on. And I think that it'll just sort of grow. It has been growing, organically. And I'm getting a lot of interest in different organisations wanting to join and come together. So I think it's kind of the right time as well. Whereas in the past, I think cyber was still very much either seen as not necessary or a bit of an afterthought. But it's, as you said earlier, it's grown exponentially, and we all need that education and need to take it seriously. And I think it's the right time to start fostering that greater collaboration.
I mean, I think you're exactly right, especially with how much misinformation, how much disinformation is circulating online. It's more important now than ever to make sure that we're doing things as securely as possible. So you just mentioned that you're organizing these things. Where can listeners go to sort of be a part of it? Where can they go to sort of keep up to date with you and your work?
Absolutely. So the site for a cybersecurity unity is csu.org.uk. I can also be found on Twitter as CyberGeekGirl, and also on LinkedIn and YouTube as well. And I push videos and so on out about various cyber awareness aspects and so on. And Cybersecurity Unity can also be found on Twitter and LinkedIn. And again, we push out as much information as possible as to what's going on currently within the cybersecurity industry. So please do go and have a look and get in touch with me. And I'm always open to conversations with anybody that wants to find out more.
Lisa, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. It's been very interesting, and I, for one, am very eager to keep an eye on what it is that you do next.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Look out for more episodes in this series. You can find them on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find out more by emailing the team at cyberconfidence@mod.gov.uk.